Hey!
In this week's Debunk the Junk with Rian Yu
and Shakti Sriram,
we will talk about one of the coolest inventions ever.
Drumroll! Wheelchairs!
So Shakti, how would you define a wheelchair?
I don't know, maybe a chair with two wheels?
Mobility. Thank you so much for that super duper detailed explanation. Oh my god.
Rude much. Okay. Would you prefer if I say a manually operated or power driven device designed primarily for use by an individual with mobility disability for the main purpose of both indoor and outdoor locomotion? Is that better?
Yes. That was exactly what I was looking for. And also, did you know that around 80 million people of the global population use wheelchairs according to the World Health Organization?
That's mad. That's like 50 million over like the entire population of Australia.
Exactly.
Oh, and also, by the way, did you hear that Griffith University actually launched a trial for custom wheelchairs to boost the performance of elite athletes? It was like this year in September. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so custom wheelchairs to boost performance.
Yeah.
But how would personalization of wheelchairs boost performance, though?
So I was curious, too, and I read a few research studies that said that height and width changes can adjust posture, which can influence mobility because it reduces pain and makes it more comfortable for the person. Okay. But I don't know much about it.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. But I'm not sure if we're the right people to talk about this in detail, though.
Yeah.
Let's bring some actual experts
that
really know about this topic.
Yeah. Since we've been talking about the dimensional customization of things, let's delve into the mechanics behind wheelchair personalization with an expert, Dr. Sujata Srinivasan, who's had over 30 years of experience in the field and a professor at the Indian Institute of Technology, Madras. Hi, Sujata.
Hi, Shakti. Hi, Rian. Thanks for including me.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Working with physiotherapists, users, and other experts, what aspect of the flexible wheelchair design do you take most into account and why?
So wheelchairs, like other devices, you know, eyeglasses are an example of assistive technologies. Now, eyeglasses, many of us can't function without them, you know, especially as you get older, you'll realize that too. So many of us can't function without them. It's the first thing I reach for when I wake up in the morning.
Of course.
But I need that to be the correct prescription for it to function well for me. So it has to have the right power. Similarly, wheelchairs need to be customized to the user. They need to fit the user correctly so that the ergonomics are correct, so that they can propel easily, so that they don't develop, you know, secondary problems like, say, back pain or shoulder pain because the wheelchair doesn't fit them properly. So these are, it's like if all of us had to wear the same size clothes or the same size shoes, it just wouldn't work. Right? So wheelchairs also have to be customizable so that they fit the user well and the user can make the most of the device to be functional.
So Rian, that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And turns out I actually do have some deducing skills when it comes to reading research papers.
But honestly, I think we should hear a bit more from a user himself.
That's true.
On wheelchair adjustments making a change.
True.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, my name is Justin Jesudas. I work as an innovation manager at University College London. I've been a wheelchair user for about 15 years. And prior to this, at the Indian Institute of Technology, we were working on assistive technology projects for persons with mobility impairment. So that's about me.
That's truly amazing.
Given your unique perspective as both a user and an entrepreneur, do you believe it's important for wheelchairs to be personalized to each individual? And could you share a personal experience that shaped your opinion on this?
Absolutely. So if you look at, you know, I'd probably ask a question back at you. Is it okay if I give you a 13 size shoe if your feet size is say 8 or 9, you're going to feel absolutely uncomfortable about it, right?
Yes.
So that's exactly why wheelchairs should be customized to that individual, to their needs as well, not just, you know, in terms of shape, size and all of that, but functional needs as well. And what I mean by that is, if you go for a jog in the morning, you're not going to go wearing your sandals or slippers. You're going to wear either a trainers or a shoe specific for that. And similarly, if you're going for hiking, that's going to be a completely different set of shoes. So similarly, apart from understanding what that person's body dimensions and requirements are, and also their functional needs. Some might need a wheelchair that goes in a rural setting. Some might need a wheelchair to go in an urban setting. Yeah. So depending on that, the functionality also has to be customized. It's extremely important that assistive devices, especially mobility devices, are tailor-made for that particular person, for that person to function at their optimum best.
100%. So to bring to light the insights of Dr. Srinivasan and Mr. Jesudas, we also interviewed physiotherapist specializing in neurology, Mrs. Anushka Nanu, who's worked with them in the past with years of experience in treating wheelchair users.
Hi, Anushka. Could you please give us an example of improvement of user conditions after wheelchair adjustments were implemented?
Yeah, so there are so many examples, but I think I'll give one of the simplest examples. So we had a person who we met in Raxaul, which is a very remote part of Bihar in India.
Okay.
It's actually at the Bihar and Nepal border.
Okay.
So what happened was the terrain was very rough in that area. And one of the girls that we met, she was given a wheelchair. And the funniest part was the wheelchair was so wide, she could not exit her house. So if she needed to exit her house, somebody needed to carry her and fold her wheelchair, bring the wheelchair out, unfold it, make her sit, and only then she can go out. So every time she needed to go out of the house, she needed two people's help. And she stopped her education because this was too much work for her parents to do. And she was really skilled. We went there for wheelchair skills training and she was able to do all the skills, even better than some of our trainers. But she had nowhere to use it. So later, when she was provided with a wheelchair that was narrow, which fit her body, and which was designed according to the terrain of her area, the wheels lasted a very long time. And she was able to go to college and now she's pursuing her education.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really, that's such a nice story. Oof, Rian, the examples of the glasses and shoes, that really connected with me and brought about a lot of clarity in like a very relatable way.
Yeah, and also for me, the experience of a child potentially losing their chance for education was something that really hit deep.
Yeah, because it's such an integral part of someone's life. And I couldn't imagine that happening to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of impacts on lives, let's hear what Justin has to say about some of the misconceptions and challenges he faced as a wheelchair user.
Perfect.
So if you look at wheelchair itself, it's the universal symbol of disability. So wherever you go, including washrooms, you always see the wheelchair sign. So often people tend to believe that somebody in a wheelchair means lesser ability, right?
Right.
And I think that's an absolute big no for me, because wheelchair is what enables me.
Correct.
And also in a country like India, where I've been for the largest part of my time, if you look at people around and you ask, they always think if you're in a wheelchair, that simply means that you need to be pushed around. So I think these are the top two misconceptions that I believe that people have about anybody who they see in a wheelchair.
It was so eye-opening when he said wheelchairs are viewed as a disability. Like, I'm guilty of that too. But it's what enables him to do things. It gives him the ability. That was so nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, although in theory, the idea of global accessibility to personalization would be a dream come true, it is still a dream that we have to work towards.
True. And Dr. Sujatha has designed over 10 assistive devices, so has encountered potential challenges to manufacturing feasibility to this customization, which is very important. Let's hear her views and solutions to this.
It is definitely a challenge. The analogy I like to use here is tailored clothes versus ready-made clothes. So, you know, if you go for tailoring for all your needs, that's going to be like super, super expensive. That's going to be really expensive. On the other hand, ready-made clothes can be mass manufactured. Mm-hmm. They come in different sizes. You can do some alterations to fit you better. Mm-hmm. So they provide that capability. And they are still affordable and accessible to a large population. When we design our wheelchairs, typically custom wheelchairs take a long time. You know, they have to take measurements. They have to, if they have to build it for each individual, it takes a lot of time. And it's also very expensive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the way we look at the design of wheelchairs is to use this approach of ready-made clothes. Based on extensive user testing, we try to come up with some standard sizes, but with adjustability built in so that it can be better fit to the user.
Yeah.
So that the user, the final fit for the user is very close to what they, what a custom-made wheelchair would be. And this really translates to better efficiency in propulsion, better fit, and therefore, you know, more comfort for the wheelchair. So, because they can spend longer amounts of time in the wheelchair with, without developing pain, for instance.
Yeah.
Shakti, do you know what's the cool thing about what she said?
What?
It's that we can apply the same ideology that she mentioned of customizing by adding flexible adjustability to our headphones or even the mics that we're using right now.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like even our chairs.
Yeah.
We can like adjust the height and stuff. Yeah. Adjustability and comfort really do go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's everything we could pack into this episode. Thanks for sticking with us through this.
Yeah, and we had so much fun.
And just some final words from your favorite hosts.
A study in India revealed that only 20% of people with disabilities requiring assistive devices had been advised to acquire one, of which only 16% have a device. And from this, the 16%, only 1/5 of them acquired these devices through a government scheme.
And I think Anushka also highlighted in her interview with us that one of the biggest challenges was the misinformation, like the belief that an ointment or a medication could be a cure for disability, or even religious rituals and praying were sufficient. This can lead to patients not utilizing critical recovery time, leading to adverse health risks like muscle dystrophy and worsening conditions, making quality of life worse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So on a serious note, our goal through this podcast was awareness focused, and we hope this podcast was a wake-up call to wheelchair designers and health communicators on the need for more research and prioritization of this community.
And now to the general public, everyone needs comfortable transportation.
Yeah.
So even if we all don't use the same type, we still need to keep the world rolling.
Yeah, and to keep the wheels rolling, come back to our podcast next week.
As always, we take suggestions from you guys with open arms.
That's been
Debunk
the Junk.
Toodles!